scripture and theology for 2 years, 4 semesters. Ever tell you about him?
I never heard.
I did not agree with his teaching of scripture, and before my ordination. We were graded on 2 term papers that we received. 2 term papers to be written each semester. Every one of my term papers for, you know, the 4 semesters that he taught me scripture, every one of my term papers was a refutation of the teaching of my teacher. That's Father Harton before his ordination. But the teacher was honest enough to give me a decent grade, and then he would write a long paper refuting me. I passed my scripture, I was ordained, and that former teacher of mine left the Society of Jesus, even in my prayers over the years. Oh, how we need, dear Lord, how we need to know whom we can read, whom we can listen to, whom, in other words, can we trust here in the interpretation of sacred scripture. Again, the error which Pius XII condemned, scripture is infallible only in teaching about God, but more than about religion. That is not true. There is nothing false in the Bible. Again, the neglect of analogy of the faith and the church's tradition in favor of a merely human exegesis. Strange language, let me explain it. We believe as Catholics that God revealed in 2 ways. The Council of Trent used the Latin word partim and partim. Partim in Latin means partly in English. That God partly revealed himself through sacred scripture, and partim, partly revealed himself through sacred tradition. In other words, not everything that God revealed is in the Bible. I think I've shared with you on at least some occasion, teaching for 7 years at the Lutheran School of Theology. And I was teaching Lutherans, but Catholic theology. And some of my fellow professors, Protestants, we'd have meetings together. You Catholics, you're always appealing to the teaching of the church. We have the Bible. So I asked, remember, I think I asked this question here in class. How many Gospels were originally written? These are all doctorates in theology. Thank you, what are you talking about? There were 4. 4 Gospels. Come, I told them. You know better than that. 4 Gospels. Are you serious? They got angry. Of course we're serious. Only 4 Gospels written. Then I named the other 11 Gospels. There were 15 Gospels. By the end of the 3rd century, someone had to decide which of those 15 Gospels were revealed by the Holy Spirit. So I told them, my dear Lutheran friends, you wouldn't even know what the Bible was except for the Catholic Church. Stop complaining about Catholics quoting the Church. Now, analogy of the faith. The church believes many things which are not found, as I've said now several times, in the Bible. And consequently, strange language, analogy of faith. What does Pius the 12th mean? The interpretation of the Bible must always be, comma, always be in the light of the faith which the Catholic Church has professed over the centuries. And the moment anyone says anything claiming to interpret the Bible, the moment he claims the Bible says this or the Bible says that, and what he is telling you is not what's the word, supported by, backed by, consistent with the teaching of the Church, that biblical scholar is all wet. He is wrong. As I think I have told you, we now have, how wonderful, we've got two words to describe biblical scholars. Remember? Exegetes. Who remembers the other word? Eisegetes. For example, Raymond Brown, when somebody asked at a lecture he was giving, what do you think of the catechism published by Father Hardin? Said Raymond Brown, it was a tragedy that Father Hardin ever published that book. Poor Father Brown. In other words, whatever you interpret which is not consistent with the Church's teaching over the centuries cannot be revealed biblical doctrine. And consequently, it is merely human exegesis, for which we now have the good word. It is eisegesis. As biblical scholars reading into us in the Bible, pardon me, what's not in the Bible, but in the person's mind, read into the Scriptures. Then contempt for traditional literal interpretation in favor of symbolism. Take, for example, 6th chapter of St. John's Gospel. Christ could not have been more clear. Remember, he told the people, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you will not have life in you. That is a literal interpretation of Christ's words. He meant his flesh and he meant his blood. And now, I think I've quoted this too. There were, by the year 1600, over 200 interpretations of the words flesh and blood as used in the Gospel of St. John. And hear it. The main reason there are so many Protestant denominations, guess, is because over the centuries the Protestants have given so many interpretations of the Bible. Every denomination in Protestantism is a creation of its own distinctive interpretation of the Bible. Correction of errors, all of them opposed to the Providentissimus Deus, the Spiritus Paracletus, and the Divino Afflante Spiritu. I think every Catholic should know what are the three principal documents of the Church on the interpretation of the Bible. They are those three documents. And this is why it is so important, especially nowadays, when Catholics are reading the Bible more than ever before. You better know what the church's authentic interpretation of the biblical passages is. Otherwise, you'll be misled by writers who may have a bright, shining imprimatur, but may be dead wrong. Errors resulting from those already listed. For example, doubt about the ability of human reason, unaided by revelation and by grace, to demonstrate the existence of a personal God from arguments based on created reality. I think I should tell you this. I really believe, after so many years in the priesthood, with the thousands of souls that God has put into my path, I really believe that many Catholics have never really thought through on how you can prove the existence of God from reason. They will tell you, I believe in God. Well, thanks. You believe in God. But why do you believe in God? Because, well, God revealed that He exists. But how can you believe in that revelation that your mind knows, your mind, independently of revelation, that there is a God? Am I making sense? To know that the world had a beginning. Widespread heresy. I believe I've told you this before. The Paulist Press in New Jersey is the largest publishing house in the world for what is called process theology. What is process theology? Process theology is the theology, they call it, which claims that everything in the universe, including God, is still evolving. God Himself is evolving. And if you please, and we are assisting God in evolving into a more perfect being than He would be except for us. Books published by the Paulist Press telling you that God Himself is in the process of becoming. How it pains me to say it, but say it I must. Karl Rahner never was convinced that God is an infinite being. Never. God Himself is in process. But the moment you question, the moment you even for a moment doubt that God is infinite, what happens to the moral order? You wipe it out. The only reason there can be unchangeable moral laws is because there is an unchangeable God. Once you postulate a changeable God, there is no such thing as unchangeable morality. Holy Brother, present Holy Father, let me tell you, he is a genius. Far, far above, naturally speaking, ordinary intelligence. And especially his encyclical on the splendor of the truth is a defense of the infinity of God, Well, because God is absolutely unchangeable. He then can enact laws which cannot change. Adultery was a crime when Christ taught in Palestine. It's a crime today. Abortion was a crime condemned in the first century by all Christians as murder. Abortion is a crime today. Why? Because the God behind His laws is Himself infinite and therefore immutable and unchangeable. But once you begin to dabble with process theology, what happens? What we see in what was once authentic Christian morality? Chaos. What some people tell me, they are told by priests in confession, is unprintable. How we need to know that the God who stands behind the moral order is the unchangeable, infinite, triune God, and His laws, therefore, basic laws of God, cannot change because God is unchangeable. And my clock says 25 after. Our next class, therefore, will be on the 8th, am I correct? 8th of December. Must be a Sunday. You don't have to attend two Masses on the 8th of December. Feast of Our Lady is Immaculate Conception. And the 15th, our classes then will be on the 8th and 15th. I will ask you, and that's one reason that I give you these, to read what I give you. And read prayerfully, otherwise known as meditate on these teachings of the Church. Our Mass now will be, at 4:30, and then our next class will be on the 8th of December. Shall we pray? In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now at the hour of our death. Amen.
O Mary, conceived without sin.
Pray for us who have recourse to thee.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. And by the way, thank you with all my heart for coming to class. Thank you. Is another priest here, his Father?
Father Downey's there.
Father Downey. Father, shall we give a blessing? May the blessing of Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit descend upon all of you and your families and remain with you forever.
Amen.
And pray for me. Thank you. Thank you for coming to class. Thank you. Is another priest here, is Father?
Father Downey, sir.
Father, shall we give a blessing? May the blessing of Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit descend upon all of you and your families and remain with you forever.
Amen.
And pray for me. Thank you.